Welcome back to another week of Behind the Lens. I'm Debbie Elias, film critic, creator, and host of Behind the Lens, where we go behind the lens and below the line with those movers and shakers, the film and TV and streaming makers, the producers, directors, writers, actors, cinematographers, production designers, costume designers, film editors, sound editors, mixers, and designers, VFX gurus, composers, stuntmen and women, and so many more. And yes, you all know how much I love to talk and how much I love film. So when you put those two things together, you get BTL Radio Show each week. And it is a joy to give you a front row seat to the who, what, where, when, why, and how of movie making with these interviews. Now, today's show is a little on the short side. But it's interesting and fun as I talk with director Kevin MacDonald about his new film, the psychological thriller, The Runner. And if the publicist didn't limit me to 10 minutes, which I stretched a little bit, you'd have a much more in-depth show. But I digress. But before I get started on Kevin MacDonald and The Runner, how many of you hit the theater this weekend to see Buddy? If you haven't, run, don't walk, to the nearest theater for this sick, twisted, hilariously funny, unexpectedly thoughtful, and gleefully drenched in blood film. Buddy is one of those increasingly rare genre concoctions that feels genuinely fresh, and I think the majority of you will have a lot of fun with it. So while it's still in theaters, go catch it. Now, as for today, The Runner, and director Kevin MacDonald. Now, directed by Kevin MacDonald, who you probably best know for The Last King of Scotland or How I Live Now, I also love his work with The Mauritanian and Black Sea. Written by Mark Gibson, who, and this, it just amazes me that he wrote The Runner when he has previously brought us the oh-so-fun Snow Dogs and the animated film The Wild. And now the two of them have teamed up for The Runner. Now, don't get confused. This is The Runner. On September 11th, we then get Runner from my pal Scott Waugh. Now, you'll be hearing more from me about Runner after Labor Day. So let's keep them straight. Ironically, I interviewed Kevin immediately followed by Scott on Thursday. So I was really running. Going between the two of them. Now, The Runner stars Gal Gadot as Maya Martin, a sharp, resourceful, high-powered lawyer at the pinnacle of London's legal world. She's also a single mother. And during her routine morning run, a single phone call shatters her world. Her son has been taken. The instructions to get him back are simple and merciless. Keep moving, follow every command, and tell no one. Stop, and he dies. Forced to sprint through the city and obey a series of sinister commands, Maya must confront an impossible question. How far will she go to bring her son home? This is a pulse-pounding psychological thriller set against the backdrop of London's hyper-connected streets. The Runner is a visceral, high-stakes race where every second counts, every choice carries a price, and a mother's unstoppable love becomes the most dangerous weapon of all. Now, my review on The Runner is embargoed until 9 p.m. tomorrow night, September 1st. So I have to be a bit cagey in talking about this film. They wanted the interviews up and out, but not the reviews. And all of you know that's very difficult for my interviews because so much of my interviews are based upon my thoughts on the film, which go into the review. So, but anyway, I have to be a little cagey. But the review is finished. It's on the website, scheduled to go live at 9 p.m. Pacific time, Tuesday night. So make sure to hop on behindthelensonline.net Tuesday night or anytime after that for my actual full review of The Runner. Now, the first word that came to my mind watching The Runner is gripping, followed by a perfect marriage of sight and sound. And that's exactly the focus of my interview with Kevin MacDonald. Anthony Dodd mantles incredible cinematography, an impeccable mixed and layered soundscape, courtesy of Glenn Fremantle and his amazing team, Sam Rice Edwards editing, and it's hard to believe this is his first feature narrative film edit, although he has edited documentaries with Kevin before. And once again, Kevin turned to composer Tom Hodge for a score that marries with some very telling needle drops. Now, as you'll hear in this interview, we really dig into Anthony Dodd Mantle's lensing with some amazing camera work. Now, you already know of his talents, thanks to films like The Last King of Scotland, which he did with Kevin, Slumdog Millionaire, and 127 Hours, both with Danny Boyle, and most recently, the utterly charming My Penguin Friend. And if I recall, I think that might be the one that was shot in Patagonia, which would explain why Anthony would want to do it so he could go travel to Patagonia. But, so if you're familiar at all with Anthony's work, what you see unfold on screen with The Runner should not come as a surprise. Now, Anthony has a very keen eye, and he'll pick up on the smallest details or images and slide them into a frame, a homeless person huddled in a doorway on a street, a backpack or a broken bag of groceries on the ground, or a fingernail, or a toe, or an eye, or a lip. He is amazing at what he sees and captures. Now, what really amazed me about this shoot, however, is that so much of it was shot on the streets of London. And you're going to hear Kevin talk about this. They couldn't close streets or sidewalks in many areas, so they ended shooting among regular crowds and traffic with Gal Gadot running. And an ambitious roller skating camera operator named Myron in the midst of it all, capturing the kinetic energy. And although Anthony likes to operate the camera himself as a rule, for those scenes, he let Myron skate and shoot while he shot with a long lens camera. And then there's Sam Rice Edwards. His editing, which can only be described as whip smart and rapier, and it's paced and modulated with Maya's running pace, so we feel like we're running in her shoes and sweating just as much as she is. But what Sam also does is incrementally parse out visual information about the caller very sparingly. A fingernail here, curling toes there, a profile of just an eye, a sliver of a computer monitor. And as the film progresses, the glimpses get a bit bigger so that we can slowly start to put the puzzle together in our minds and visually. But it keeps us on tenterhooks from beginning to end. Rounding things out is Tom Hodge's score, meshed with some, as I said, incredible needle drops, bookending the film with Blondie's Heart of Glass and ending with Hanging on the Telephone. Now, the one element we didn't get to address in this very brief but rapid-fire interview was Gal Gadot, but let me just say this. I cannot think of anyone who could play this role but for Gal Gadot. Wonder Woman and all that image entails and brings to Gadot's pedigree is on full display in The Runner. She is amazing. From the physicality to her facial expressiveness of conviction and determination, she is what makes this film so gripping. So, take a listen as director Kevin MacDonald and I discuss The Runner. Well, hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking good, too.
Oh, well, you're always looking good, so I don't need to see that. That's a given. It's so good to speak with you again. Last time we chatted was for Mauritanian.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that's good. This is a very different movie to that.
Oh, yeah. This is very different than anything you've done. And I
Yeah.
have to say, it is gripping, is the first word that came to my mind as I'm watching this. But more importantly, this is a perfect marriage of sight and sound between Anthony's incredible camera work. The camera work is just off the charts here. Between that, all the handheld, the ECUs, the ambient
Yeah.
noise, the Fremantle sound layering and mixing here, and your needle drops. This is frenetic, frenzied, panicked, intuitive intelligence, all of it at its finest. I love this film.
I want to take that quote and I'm going to put it on the
Feel free.
poster.
Go ahead. I, you
Well,
be.
look, you know, obviously all these people's work, and Anthony
Ugh.
is—he's somebody I worked with on the very first film I ever did 20-something years ago, The Last King of Scotland, and we've worked together a couple of times since. But he was the first person I thought of to shoot this because he is the king of energy
Yeah.
and the king of loving a challenge for how the hell do you film this? Anthony's your man. He loves to take on those sort of challenges. And he's not getting any younger like the rest of us, but he has the energy of a 21-year-old, that man. He's incredible.
He just amazes me. I've interviewed him multiple times over the years,
Yeah.
a number of times on Danny's films, Danny Boyle's films. But I gotta say, this, the constant movement, the pacing, this thing, he's shooting in rhythm to Maya's running. And then your editing, Sam is cutting this the same way. So that when she slows down, when she stumbles, she trips, she falls, she hurts her knee. Okay, the editing slows down. We have a momentary, we can take a breath. Maya can take a breath, but then it picks right up and keeps on going. This is everything about this film is rapier, Kevin, but you said something so key about the energy of it and Anthony is the guy when trying to figure out how you shoot this. So, when you first sat down with him after with script in hand, how did the two of you come up with this visual grammar?
Well, a lot of it is kind of inspired or based on what is doable, what is possible, because we very quickly realized that, we're not able to close every street, we're not able to have hundreds of extras, we're not able to, have total control that you would. We can't have lights in most places. We did have, some places we could light, but not very many. So, you have to go with the art of the possible. And that dictated, first of all, that we used a great roller skating operator
Oh my God.
who I had met in South Africa called Myron. And Myron did that wonderful film, Athena, the Parisian film about building a state that was all a single take. He's a great kinetic operator. And so he did a lot of skating, operating, and then Anthony would be on a long lens often. He loves to operate himself, catching these wonderful little vignettes that he loves to get. A homeless guy here, flock of birds there. He's always like roaming around looking for kind of fascinating little details that are telling and which say something about the scene. So his kind of visual curiosity is always apparent in everything he does, but I think in this one he's surpassed himself.
Oh, absolutely. I can. I mean, when I'm watching this and we see that ugly Howard Hughes pinky fingernail just tapping, on a desk with a partial computer monitor there, and only Anthony would pick up on tiny things like that, or, feet, Feet are a big thing. We see a lot of Maya's feet and her sneakers running and other people and their feet and they're walking. And we see our caller curling his toes in carpet like Bruce Willis did in Die Hard in the opening scenes. All of these little things, and it's like between what I know you see and what he sees, I'm chuckling as I'm watching. It's like, damn, these guys are spot on. It
Well,
just.
that's good. That's good to know, because obviously what you're trying to do with a film like this is you're taking quite a kind of mainstream, generic sort of story, and you're trying to inject some thematics and some visual style and some sonic style that elevates it to be something that is kind of feels modern and emotional and specific.
Yeah, and Sonic. That's my other big word with this film, Kevin, is Sonic. The sound design, the editing is impeccable. It is Oscar worthy as far as I'm concerned. We have so many layers in here going right down to the cell phone calls because we
Yeah,
have
well,
the spam
the
caller.
editor, the sorry, carry on,
No,
sorry.
I was saying, because first, we're hearing Maya, who's in first person, then we're hearing the caller through the phone and also in from his calling location. And we have all the layers of sound, the streets, the ambulances, sirens, people walking, screaming, yelling, "Get out of my way, you dumb broad. I'm gonna hit you. I do hit you." And then even the robocaller guy, with the contest, that's a totally different tone. And then it's so the Fremantles have done such a great job intricately to hear Scott Joplin's Ragtime through the phone in the first act. And I heard that so well, and I'm like, all right, I gotta see how this plays out. So,
You're a savvy viewer. You're a savvy viewer.
talk to me about working with the Fremantles on the sound here, because the sound and the visuals go hand in hand.
Well, first of all, I would say that the editor, Sam Rice Edwards,
Ugh.
is someone I've worked with before on documentaries and on commercials, but this is his first feature film. And I thought he did an incredible job, but it's kind of like he didn't need to have experience of, drama in a way, because
Right.
it doesn't operate in the grammar of this is not a normal drama. And so he could bring all of his kind of sense of rhythm and musicality and kind of associative editing that he's so good at to this, and didn't need to pay too much attention to the normal rules of drama. And then the Fremantles, Glenn and his kids and the whole gang there at Sound 24, I've worked with for 20, well,
Forever.
more than 25 years. I think 1999 I worked with them first. It's a long time ago. And they're the masters, and they had to rebuild the soundtrack pretty much from scratch because, as you can imagine, shooting on the streets,
Yeah.
everything was, it was very hard for the sound recordists to record good audio. And so we were rebuilding it all pretty much from the ground up, recording interesting effects and having a lot of fun, to be honest. But it's always on the edge of chaos. You need to sort of have it, enough structure that it feels ordered and that you can understand what's going on, but at the same time, be pushing it as much towards chaos as you can.
And that sound and creating that chaos, it plays in beautifully with Sam's work, particularly when Maya is like she's running out of steam, she's panicking. Early on, she's got her attorney hat on and she's and being a form, an attorney myself, I don't practice, but being an attorney myself in law for 27 years, I saw immediately she's playing him. She's trying playing him like a trial. Like she's got somebody on the stand.
Yeah, well, that was the idea. You spotted that. Yeah, that's very much the idea. That she's using her kind of lawyer's smarts, making him think he's in control.
Yeah.
She's actually the one in control the whole time. She's manipulating him.
But we reach a point where, you know, she's out of breath. Her heart is pounding. How much further can she go? Does she have any fluid left in her? Because she's sweating so badly. But then Sam comes in with these beautiful superimpositions and some montages. In her mind,
yeah.
She's thinking of Noah and the happy times.
Yeah.
And that is such a beautiful emotional respite for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. That was one of the things we tried very hard to do, is to get you inside her head in a kind of more poetic way, rather than making it a kind of conventional action film the whole way through. And, you know, it is an action film, but it's an action film that nobody gets killed, and actually nobody really gets hurt.
Yeah.
it makes it a little unusual in the genre. I hate kind of shoot 'em up films. I can't stand movies with like endless bad guys being blown away. So I like the cleverness of this, where you think people are being killed, but they're not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to ask you about Tom Hodge.
We have to wrap. Sorry.
I can't ask him about Tom Hodge's score.
Ask one more about Tom Hodge.
I want to know about, because you worked with Tom before, melding the score with the pacing. And with those incredible needle drops you have, starting us with Blondie, Heart of Glass, ending it with Hanging on the Telephone. The musical montage and marriage here is fantastic.
Yeah, no, I love the music. And Tom has become my, you know, composer of choice in the last few years. The first thing I did with him was actually the Mauritanian.
Yeah.
5 or 6 years ago, and he was like the fourth composer who came onto that, and I couldn't get the tone right, and he came in and got the tone right, and then we worked on several documentaries together, and then this, and I think he's a remarkable composer. I think we're going to see a lot more of him. He's so original in his approach, but so. Such a pleasure to work with. You know, he's never a prima donna. And we have a really great creative collaboration. He's one of my favorite people to work with.
Well, Kevin, you have delivered an amazing film. Everybody needs to run to the theaters and see this one when it comes out. It's heart-stopping.
Well,
it's gripping.
Much.
I love it. And hopefully we'll chat again in the future.
Let's hope in another 5 years.
That's okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'll take
Thank
it.
You.
Thanks, bye-bye. Kevin. Bye-bye. And that was Kevin MacDonald talking about The Runner. And while I think I mentioned running to the theater during the interview, guess what? You don't have to run to see The Runner, as it will be releasing on Prime Video on Wednesday, September 2nd. If you want to run on a treadmill while you're watching just to get into the spirit of the film, feel free. Or you can be like me and just sit back on the edge of your seat as this gripping plot unfolds. But whatever you do, do not miss The Runner. Now that's it for today. I'm keeping it a little short and sweet for you. But make sure to check out the website for the new reviews and interviews that are up. More are on the way as embargoes are lifting. But I want to put on your radar a new crime thriller releasing in theaters and digitally this Friday, September 4th. It's called The Girl in the River, and it's from first-time feature director and writer Brando Benetton. It's a terrific interview and another tension-building film for you. I love these crime thrillers. I love the psychological thrillers. The interview is already out. It's up and out. And it's very thoughtful and interesting, as Brando really dives into the community of Canton, Mississippi, where the film was shot, and how Canton helped influence the crafting of the visual tonal bandwidth. and how much they embrace filmmakers there. So all of you indie filmmakers out there, when you're thinking of going down south for a film, or even just for a small town feel, put Canton, Mississippi on your radar. Now this isn't something that too many directors think about and embrace, or that we get a chance to talk about. And you'll love the cast of The Girl in the River, Maggie Grace, Devon Sawa, Tiffany Haddish, who is fantastic in this dramatic role. She blew my mind. Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid himself, and for all of you in my ARP demographic, Andrew Stevens. Andrew has been acting forever. He's also directed. But his big thing for many years now has been producing, and he is one of the boots on the ground producers on this film. And Brando has a lot to say about working with Andrew and how much he gleaned from him, or as he puts it, soaked up like a sponge. So make sure you don't want to miss this film. It's excellent. It belies Brando being a first-time writer, feature film writer, director. I think you're really going to like it. And it will be available digitally or in theaters come Friday. Now, next week is Labor Day, so I might not have a show for you until the following week, when you will hear my interview with Scott Waugh talking about his action comedy Runner. Not The Runner, just plain old Runner. Starring Owen Wilson, Alan Ritchson, and Rodrigo Santoro. And Runner is embargoed until September 8th. They're killing me with embargoes, people. I'm so sorry. But you will get to hear my interview with Scott. I never deprive you of a Waugh interview. I started the year with Rick talking about Greenland 2, the migration. Ending it with Scott talking, coming into the last quarter with Scott talking Runner a couple years ago. We did Kandahar from Rick the beginning of the year, Expendables 4 from Scott at the end of the year. As Scott very proudly told me on Thursday, when we finished our interview, I am to consider myself Waugh'd. Perfect bookend for me. But you'll hear more of that hilarity in the coming weeks. So until next time, I'm Debbie Elias. This is Behind the Lens.